In a world where options are limitless, but time is not, two heroes take a stand against injustice and overwhelming viewing choices, starring Jane Ellen and Adam Cravens. A podcast that lets you know what's worth watching and what's not. From the Hints and Oakley Podcast Center, this is Binge or Cringe.
Hello and welcome to Binge or Cringe. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
So, a lot has been seen. And I want to start with one thing, which was the movie that is getting Oscar buzz called Nomadland. And why does it get Oscar buzz?
That sounds like a really, really boring addition to Disney World. I feel like it wouldn't be very, very much fun.
See, the Golden Globes are for us, because we're recording this on the weekend. The Golden Globes is about to happen, so by the time you hear this, it will have happened. So right now, as of this second, Nomadland has been nominated. However, I watched it. It has the great Frances McDormand. And as my husband said, it's not going to be like a great upbeat movie. And it wasn't.
Frances McDormand doesn't
do a lot of happy.
Do a lot of those. But, I mean, I guess that comes with being married to one of the Coen brothers. I'm not saying they can't produce a knee slapper. Like, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? Is rather entertaining. The Big Lebowski is quite humorous, but Fargo probably less so.
So here's the interesting thing: you have Frances McDormand and a few other actors who you recognize, and then you have people who actually lived this life and are playing, you know, movie versions of themselves. And by the way, at no time during this movie, and it is a very well-made movie. And at no time during this movie did I go, oh, that doesn't ring true, or that acting's terrible, or anything like that at all. But what my husband pointed out was, Frances McDormand went for, you know, she may have had some makeup on for film purposes, but this was not a glamorous look for her.
She's not legally blonde or anything of that.
And as my husband pointed out, he goes, all those people, he says, that's what actual people look like. And he's right. The other people who did not act as a profession, that's what actual people look like. And so the story is, I'm not going to say it's incredibly morose, but I'm not going to say it's joyous either. It is just a story. And it's about her, Frances McDormand's character, is named Fern, and she and her husband didn't have any kids, and they lived in a town where it wasn't a mining town, but you know how those mining towns grew up and then you had all of the company housing all around it. I forgot what type of company it was, but they lived in this town that they loved, and then the company went out of business and everyone lost their jobs. And then her husband died.
And you're telling me this, you don't think this film is morose?
Okay, but wait. So, instead of going to live with her sister, who has a pretty awesome place, she decides to do what other people have done. They are not homeless, as she put it. They are houseless. And so they get these vans. What the kind of vans in most places, in most cases, I taught my children were, you know, child predator kidnapping vans.
The windowless.
Yes.
Okay.
And so,
right.
But they trick them out. Well, I don't want to say trick them out. They're not amazing, but they make them into a livable home so they can drive to.
All that you're telling me is very sad.
Yeah.
So far, like, we even managed
there
to get
crime.
Child kidnapping.
There was just, no child
I
kidnapping.
Didn't think we could go. I was like, well, maybe we're at that plateau of sadness now. No.
No. Oh, yeah, so one of the characters dies, too. But anyway, it is the story of how, for Fern, this is her life that is acceptable for her. And she, you won't relate to this at all, Adam, she works several jobs. I know. And so for...
I don't want to watch this film at all. Like, I'm sad hearing the summary of the movie.
Every year, she returns to, and I don't recall where in the country this takes place, but she returns to work at a big Amazon warehouse as a seasonal worker. And then she goes somewhere else to work a couple of months as a seasonal. And she'll drive around. And she will stay at RV parks where she's allowed to and set up and whatnot. And she's not the only one that does this. There are other people who live like this. And they live like that by choice. And I guess it is kind of a downer.
It's all downer. nothing that you have said to me has pointed me in any other direction I should take up drinking. Like,
she does have an opportunity to stay in this gorgeous house with a guy friend, not a date, but just a guy friend, and he's reconnected with his son and his son's wife who's just had a baby, and they have all this room and all this livestock and just hang out and live there, but of course...
But it's haunted by a ghost?
She leaves without saying goodbye, and it's the end of the movie. Spoiler. Anyway, it's called Nomadland, and...
I think it should just be called Sadland. Yes.
So that's, now that I say it out loud, it does sound like Oscar bait, because you know they like to give movies and actors awards for looking
for
not their best.
And depressing the audience.
Or having some affliction or dying. By the way, her main character does not die or anything. It's just she chooses to live life this way. And what I told my oldest child, and there's nothing against living life this way if that's how you want to do it, but I knew this movie was different because someone lived like that, and then his daughter was visiting, and he had a heart attack, and so the daughter takes him away and leaves his dog. And so someone else says, can you take the dog? And she says no. And I thought, oh, well, she's going to drive back and get the dog, of course.
No.
She didn't.
Everything.
She didn't get the dog.
You have depressed me over the course of the last, let's call it 5 minutes.
It very much has the feel of an indie movie. A lot was not spent on it.
It's the opposite of the John Hammond. Like, instead of no spared expense. Like, every spared expense.
Precisely. I mean, clearly they didn't.
The voice you were hearing is not Richard Kiley.
They did not have to hire hair and makeup wardrobe.
Or if they did, like
they were very good at it.
They were very, very like underutilized in it.
Very much.
This was not
so.
A 40-hour a week job.
Mm-mm. And she makes friends. She finds a community where she feels accepted, and she likes the freedom of knowing that she can go here, here, and here. Now, there came a point where something happened to her van, and the guy said, well, it's going to cost almost $3,000 to fix your van. You should just buy a different car. It's not worth it because the age of your van. And then she said, it's not just a van, it's my home. And then she borrowed the money from her sister. It's like, wow, I agree with the guy. I mean, it's not worth it, but... Anyway.
Well, I mean, okay, if it was just her car, yes. But, like, seeing as how, like, you're factoring in the money that she is saving on, like, rent or utilities or land taxes or any of that, it might make more sense. Like, it's all sad.
What I told my oldest was, as she sees her driving along, she's going, what is wrong with her? And I tell her some of it. And I said, you know what this is? This is something you can learn from. They didn't have life insurance on her husband, because if they had a good life insurance policy, she wouldn't have to do this. And by the way, all the work she's doing, she is busting it. And there's a lot of smoking.
Yeah.
You don't see that a lot
in
movies.
You didn't tell me that, but I almost knew the case in that.
Yeah, it's a lot of smoking.
Like, so, when I was creating this in my mind's eye, there were several like cartons of cigarettes.
And I want to say that there's a lot of bleak landscape and it's cold a lot.
Yep, I felt that. I felt a chill. Yeah. And it's warm. It's warm where I am.
Yeah.
But I could feel it.
So, yeah,
please tell me whatever else you watched.
Nomadland is, you're going to hear more of it because...
Please tell me you watched an old Abbott and Costello documentary
Nomadland,
or something.
I doubt there were... Oh, by the way, it's a nonfiction book called Nomadland, Surviving America in the 21st Century. Other people, there are a few people in it who are talked about in the book. And so they are also featured. The real people are featured in the movie.
I don't want to threaten you, but I'm going to walk out of here if you don't stop talking about this terribly depressing thing. Move on to any others. Like, do you have a documentary about like incurable diseases? Like, I need a pick me up like after this.
Oh, they also call themselves rubber tramps because wheels.
Sure, yeah.
And there is a nomadic community.
Just keeps getting back.
Yep. You can look up the hashtag van life.
That's much different than like the pejorative context of, say,
nomadic
salt
living
life.
Is part of the transformation of today. Huh. Anyway, so it's kind of a downer. You're listening to Binge or Cringe, brought to you by Hinson Oakley Family Dentistry. Jane Ellen talking with Adam Cravens about what is worth watching on TV. Nomadland, I covered that. Really a downer, and I regret bringing it up. But I watched it. I felt if I watched the whole thing, I had to do something with it.
That's, yeah. Like, if you're going to suffer through that, you should at least let others know what they're getting into.
Oh, and by the way, Nomadland is on Hulu, so you know. It's on Hulu.
And actually, I think it's in theaters as well right now, if I'm remembering correctly.
Well, then why don't you...
If you want to, you know, get $20 worth of drink and popcorn and sit there and sob into your popcorn for 2 hours.
Now, it didn't make me want to sob, but it was kind of a one of those.
What's the point of this buttery popcorn?
I know. Now, I know that as soon as we finish this podcast, I'm going to go, oh, and I watched these other things that were super fun that I loved, and I'm trying to think of what they are.
I like super fun love. Like, that's much better.
Yeah, I do too.
Separate emotions, combined emotions, whichever way you go.
Oh, my goodness gracious. What was it? Now, I have been rewatching a lot of Archer because it makes me happy, but we've covered Archer more than once.
I believe so, yeah.
And each time, it was totally worth it. Hold on. I hate how on my phone, can't it just all be under A? Amazon, Amazon Music, Amazon Movies. But it's not all like that.
It seems like you'd want it branded that way.
The same thing is, why does Publix have to have three different apps? It makes no sense.
Consolidation and streamlining seem like that's the way the world is turning. It seems odd that you would want to do that.
Yeah, I know. And yet they don't do it. But I know there was something else that I watched that I enjoyed. If only I could find it. Talked about that. Wow, I watch a lot of TV.
I watched Superman and Lois on the CW.
Is it new?
Yes. It's brand new, yeah.
Well, then why don't you just pipe in with that? Well, I'm just trying to remember what I saw.
I try not to force my beliefs or my religious feelings or politics on you, but...
Oh. Okay, this was what I watched. I do want to hear about that, but... This has, you know, that guy.
Well, I'm not wearing my glasses. So
he remade Thor's hammer.
Peter Dinklage.
Yes.
Yes, there we go.
That's all I had to say. Peter Dinklage. Okay. On Netflix, there's a movie called I Care a Lot, made for Netflix, okay? And this is how it starts. You have this slick group of people, and they're all working together, a doctor, other people with offices, and then another office with people on the wall who are all old, and they go to this beautiful house, and there's an older woman living there, which is, Wiest, Diane Wiest.
Okay.
Right?
I haven't
Woody
seen
Allen
this program.
Woody Allen films? Wiest?
I'm actually not a big fan of Woody Allen's.
Well, she's done other things. You would recognize her.
Probably.
Anyway, so she's this older woman, and this woman who's, let's say, 35, comes up, and she has gone to court without this woman knowing. Older woman, younger woman has gone to court and told the judge, hey, she doesn't have any family. Her doctor, who is in on it, says that she has dementia, and she's going to harm herself and harm the community, and she needs to be put under my care, and I need to be made her guardian. And the judge said, oh, that is so sad. She has no one. Of course you can be her guardian. So she shows up with a legal document, physically removes the woman from her home, and then starts going through all her stuff and selling it.
I thought this was going to be...
I was so angry.
I thought this was going to be happier than
Nomadland. It's not going to be happy, but it's going to be slightly more satisfying.
Slightly less depressing. That's...
So...
That's the show I'm going to start on YouTube.
Slightly less depressing.
Slightly less depressing with Adam.
Okay. So, I Care a Lot. By the way, 80% on Rotten Tomatoes. Just thought I'd throw that out there. Yeah, Diane Wiest. You know who she is.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
Anyway, so I was so angry the first 10 minutes of the movie, thinking that that could happen. Just outraged that there's clearly nothing wrong with this older woman.
And somebody is legally...
I was so mad. Then we see our favorite guy. And
Peter Dinklage?
Peter Dinklage, yes. And he seems to be a criminal of some sort.
He does have a look about him.
Maybe
con artist?
Mafioso type.
Oh, okay. All right.
But something. He's something. And he has a gajillion dollars. So you see, the people that...
Is that a real number?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
You can tell.
Just carries it around in a backpack?
He's got a lot. Now, 10, 15 minutes into the film, my teenage daughters come in, and they are just drawn in. In my opinion, the first half an hour of the film is the best. And then I mentally stepped away from it and went, okay, so what are they going to do with this? And then I predicted it, and then I was right. So,
which tends to happen when I watch really anything at this point.
But, so they put her in this home, and you get so annoyed because you have Peter Dinklage. This is his mother, you see, but there's no record of him. And the guardian shows up to talk to her, and Diane Wiest, the older woman's character, she goes, oh, you messed with the wrong old lady because he's coming for you. And it's like, yes, he is. He's real angry about lots of stuff all the time.
And now he has a way to funnel that, to direct it.
Yes. And every month he sends a car to pick up his mom to go spend time with him. And you see, seeing as the people that were taking advantage, that's what they do. That's how they make their money. They prey on the elderly. They had no record of her having children. So this was all unexpected. And then she's just not brought to him. He's like, well, what do you mean? She's checked herself into this home.
The phrase preying on the elderly actually physically, like I could feel my my muscles tight. Like it just, phrase makes me so, like this is why a lot of times I just have to watch reruns of Frasier because that doesn't make me angry. Like I don't physically tense up when hearing about it. And like, I don't want to just go out and like,
maybe that's why I was so angry, because I have had to experience firsthand someone preying on the elderly people in my family. And by the way, still getting away with it, even though I've done everything. But don't let me go off on that. So anyway, they're going through her house. They're selling stuff off. And then they find a bag full of uncut diamonds. And it's not listed in anything. She has insurance on everything. But these diamonds aren't listed, and so they go, well, we can just take these. We don't have to sell them. There's no record of them. It's like they don't exist. So what kind of person has just millions and billions of diamonds just lying around hidden in a book?
Goonies, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. So the delightful part is, of course, Peter Dinklage. He owns every scene he's in. How can he not?
I mean, honest to goodness, even in smaller roles, like he had a bit part in Elf.
That's where my girls recognize him from.
Yeah, I'm saying, like, honest to goodness, like, this guy is a powerhouse.
And
I don't mean it in a derogatory way. It's not because he's physically imposing, but, like, that guy is just such...
He is imposing, though.
That guy is such a performer that, like, when you put him in a scene, like, he's going to own it. Like, unless you are, like, a Sir Anthony Hopkins or, like, a Daniel Day-Lewis, like, your A-game had better be right there, right then, or he is going to trample you in whatever scene you are in together.
So what happens is the guardian, and this made me angrier, she said, I control everything about you, old lady. And so she has her move to a psych facility with only oatmeal. She can't leave her room, totally has her medicated because she can do all that because she legally owns her. So Peter Dinklage wants his mama back, and now he wants to hurt her. And not hurt his mom. But
now it just sounds like a really low-rent, like, Tarantino movie.
Yes.
This is totally a subject I would watch Tarantino cover.
So then you have how he goes after the shady guardian. And then you have how the shady guardian then...
Which is the sequel to The Constant Gardener, I believe.
Yes. The shady guardian is drugged, has alcohol poured over her, and goes over a cliff in her car into the water. She survives it.
What is this, Groundhog's Day?
Only to come back and go for him. So what happens when you have someone with such extreme skills of a dubious nature. And you're already a person of dubious nature.
You team up?
Yes!
Oh, dear.
The end. Okay.
There it is.
Yeah. There is other justice in there, but I don't want to ruin it for you. But it's like, well, in the end, he's not going to kill her because she was able to get to him. Huh.
And he probably at least recognizes the talent.
Yes, and it comes down to that. Peter Dinklage has some amazing lines. Diane Wiest has some amazing lines. A lot of the movie made me angry because this happens. Maybe not to that extreme, but
probably
this happens.
Yeah.
But, and then it's over. So I was surprised that it pulled me right in. And what I liked about I Care a Lot is I didn't know quite where it was going with, you know, it wasn't a carbon copy of a million other things.
Which is actually kind of pleasant, consider, like, I mean, because, like, you and I cover this stuff on this podcast, and, I mean, even, like, predating that, like, I've consumed so much, you know, theatrics or, like, drama or mm-hmm. comedy. Like, there's so many ways you can prepare that meal before eventually you're like, okay, well, you're getting potatoes with this again mm-hmm. and again and again.
Yeah. And sometimes I want that formula, and other times it's like, seriously, could you be any more obvious? By the way, I don't know if it was a CGI thing, but you know those gymnastic rings where the guy, it's usually the, I don't know if the women do it or not, but I always see in the guys' gymnastics, are those rings from the ceiling, and they pull themselves up, and
yeah.
they go completely horizontal.
Yeah, I will never be able
okay.
to do that.
Okay, he's doing that, so I don't know if, I mean, because he looks like he's totally buff, but maybe there are things that they removed in CGI.
Wires or harnesses.
Just the fact that he was doing that was such a great way to show how strong his character was.
Because, like, I don't know, if you've never tried to do that.
Oh, I
can barely pull myself up on, like, a rope, much less, like, go, like, parallel or horizontal mm-hmm. or, if there's going to be a physical, like, confrontation of sorts, I'm going to need an advantage in mm-hmm. some other way because it's not going to be because of my brute strength.
Mm-hmm. So it was better than I expected. I did feel it was slightly overlong. It was much more, not frenetic, but it moved faster in the beginning and it was more, what are they going to do with this? I wanted to know more in the beginning. And then I reached a point where it's like, okay, now do something. But still, it was good. And
it sounds
Peter Dinklage.
And it's at least slightly less depressing than Nomadland.
Yeah. So Nomadland is on Hulu. I Care a Lot is on Netflix. And it'll make you angry. That's really all I got to say. It is a comedy thriller. I don't know if it's a comedy.
Well, I was not thrilled about what I heard about either. So it seems to be neither of those things.
Now I have to read this. BuzzFeed said, it isn't the movie it thinks it is. Oh, Rosamund Pike is the main. Okay, it's not... Critics are calling it shockingly funny. No, it's not shockingly funny.
It just kind of is funny?
Well, some lines are funny. I wouldn't say it's extra heart-pounding. Oh, underneath it all, it's frustrating and vacuous, all set up and no follow-through, and a movie so unaware of what it wants to be that it ends up amounting to very little. Okay, so I get that. Yeah, toward the end, it's kind of, I knew that was going to happen. But I thought it was worth watching, and the teenagers found it interesting as well.
Well, again, Peter Dinklage he is someone that tends to raise the level of whatever he is a part of.
I kept rewatching his Doritos commercial last year because it was so good.
Which is obviously what I was referring to.
Obviously.
I do remember his work with Doritos. I'm quite, yeah. Yeah, so not unlike Sir John Gielgud's. Same work with the Toast Tartars.
Yes. This is a really good commercial, though. So, I Care a Lot, Nomadland. If you have run out of any antidepressants, don't watch those.
Steer clear. Steer clear of these.
Make sure you're current on everything that you need to be current on. And make sure you're in a fairly good place before you start. Otherwise, you might, you know. I'm not saying you'd nosedive, but it's not going to make you super joyous.
You're not going to have, like, warm cockles or anything of that.
I did share a great moment with my 14-year-old. And who's noticing Peter Dinklage, and I said, he's kind of hot, isn't he? And she goes, yes! I was like, okay, then.
He is, I mean, his presence
his
is...
His charisma is
just, attractive, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's it. Stuff to watch. Thank you for listening to Binge or Cringe. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
You've been listening to Binge or Cringe. Download your favorites and keep up with new episodes in the Hints and Oakley Podcast Center.